Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to another worship gathering we call the Hebrew Restoration Gathering here on the Shabbat. This is our day of worship. Hear, O Israel, Lord, our God is one. As it says in Mark 12 and 29, when Christ was answering them, said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, Lord, our God, Ahaya, is one, and truly he is the Yakad. We say, when we talk about Yashad, Yakad, we say, alone, he is one, and we make it clear that he stands alone, which is why we don't like to refer him as being God, because there are many gods in this world, as 2 Corinthians 4th chapter tells us, that in whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of the people. So when we just refer to him as God, which is a title, theos, we relegate him to being on the same level as any other god. But he is Yakad. He is alone. He stands alone, for he is the I am that I am, and he exists solely by himself, amongst himself, because there is no beginning or end with him. So hear, O Israel, R.L., our Lord, Ahaya, He is one. We worship him and praise him, and we welcome you. It is my prayer that you're blessed today, that you've had a wonderful work week, but you're learning how to rest on this day and give him praise for all that he's done for you and your family, you and yours, aside from everything else that you might be going through. Know that this is a day that he's made, and we are truly blessed. What we're going to do today is normally we've set aside this day to cover the commandments, which is our culture. It's the Israelite way of life, and we like to talk about how it was with our ancestors, our forefathers, and the laws and statutes and laws and commandments, which are still in existence and applicable today. We like to talk about how they apply to our culture and cause us to be Kodesh. Let no one tell you that the laws are done away with. The penalty, which was death, has been done away with because of the sacrifice of our brother, our Messiah, Christ, and what he's done. Therefore, we have grace and mercy. But we do know that in keeping these commandments and laws, there is life. There is life in doing so. And there are many blessings and increases in doing so. If you've listened to some of the previous shows, we've covered that. When you talk about having a hedge of protection around your life, that is a result of keeping the statutes, the laws, and commandments. In the Apocrypha, which was in the 1611 King James Bible before the Nicene Council decided to get together and take these 14 books out of the Bible because it was too much verifiable information of us being the true children of Israel and prophecy. The book of Baruch, the 4th chapter, 1 through 5, it says, "This is the book of the commandments of Ahiah and the law that endureth forever. All they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die." Scriptures like this that are in the Apocrypha that make it clear that the law will never be done away with, which is why Yeshaya HaMashiach said, "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." It will not pass. Not one jot or tittle of these words that the Most High has given us will ever pass. It will not pass. But let me reiterate that verse I just read from Baruch, the 4th chapter, 1 through 5. It says, "All they that keep it shall come to life." If you're looking for that life abundantly, it's all in keeping his laws and commandments. That is striving to be Kodesh. That is striving to be blameless. That is striving to be perfect. Luke 1 and 6 says that Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist, and her husband were blameless because they walked in the commandments. This is something we need to understand. Even in the second verse of Baruch, the 4th chapter, it says, "Turn thee, O Jacob, and take hold of it. Walk in the presence of the light thereof, that thou mayest be illuminated." Even there you see where the Illuminati and the so-called illuminated ones steal that from. The only way to illumination, where you become the light of the world and your face shines the glory of the Most High like it did Musa, Moses, is by walking in these commandments and these statutes that transform you and change you as that, most people say the Yekah, I like to say the glory, comes upon you, and it's noticeable to everyone. It's a transformation. Third verse from Baruch said, "Give not thine honor to another, nor the things that are profitable to thee, to a strange nation." We're commanded not to do that. We're commanded not to give the things that are profitable to us to other nations, which are interpreted as races today. I know that's a shocker to you, but that's the way it was referred. So when you hear nations and the scriptures and the Bible, today we relegate that to races. You know, you have And this is what kills me. You have a German that comes from Germany, Russians that come from Russia, Africans that come from Africa, but they call us black, and I still haven't found a country called black. Israel, Yasharel, happy are we for the things that are pleasing to God and are made known to us. Be of good cheer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We want to have a moment of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemaim. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we give you praise for the Shabbat, for this day of rest, and we thank you for who you are. We acknowledge you this morning to lead us and direct our path. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, we thank you, and we are truly grateful, and we are content with such things that we have. But we lift up Israel this morning. We ask that you lift up hung down heads and give us peace, and give us the things that you would have us to have in our existence, so that we might be able to shine and bless our people and give to those less fortunate than us. Give us the power to resist the enemy, and we rebuke all temptation that will come upon your people, that they'll be able to stand in this hour. We know that we're living in perilous times and trying times, but we look to you. We look to the hills from which cometh our help, and we expect you to increase your people, encourage them, cause them to stand in the midst of whatever they're going through, and to be able to count it all joy. For you promised that you would withhold no good thing from us, and that you said, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Cause your people to know that as you stir up the gifts that are within them, and they begin to shine. And understand on this day they are refreshed and refilled, and that they'll have the fortitude to encourage themselves, just as David did, and go further in you, and to take hope, take heart, and that their faith might be increased. For when you come back, we want you to find faith in the earth, as we stand for you and represent you, and look not to the left nor the right, nor yield to temptation. Give our people the testicular fortitude, the wherewithal to be able to resist the enemy as he is trying to program them and get them to become a part of the world. May they walk away from Babylon as we prepare our hearts for your soon return, as we prepare our hearts to war with you and for you. In the name of Yeshaya, we pray and ask these blessings. Brothers and sisters, right after this break, we're going to come back and get into some more things about the commandments. And then we're going to talk about Purim, which is celebrated by some today and tomorrow, and by some on the 27th and the 28th. Depending on the calendars, there's a lot of little controversy about the exact dates, but we just want to go ahead and discuss it. Talk about Esther, Haman, Mordecai, what took place around that time. Talk about what the origin, what's supposed to happen, how we celebrate it, just to keep us in that frame of mind. So we're going to stick with the theme of the Shabbat, as we always do. Come back and talk about some of the importance of the commandments, and elaborate on some of them, get into Purim, be increased. At the beginning of the show, we talked about chasing the devil out of the earth. I hope you're ready for the fight. That's from the tribe of Benjamin. Now I want you to hear from Judah as we worship. It's a young man that put something on the internet, YouTube. It might be a throwback to some of you, make you think this is church Christianity, which I do not ascribe to. But he is of the tribe of Judah. He's got a gift and a voice. And from the looks of this young man, don't even look like he should be able to worship or praise the way he does, but he's doing it. And it's an increase, so I just want to play it right before we move to the next clip. So just check this brother out.
I've had some good days, and I've had some years to glide. I've had some weary days.
Hallelujah. That young man is Dakario Wilson, young brother from, I think he's out of North Carolina. And he kind of hit the internet pretty hard with that. And from the looks of it, you know, it looks like he's got a reason to praise him. But, you know, we as Judah, thinking about being in this captivity, I think we should be in that same frame of mind where we won't complain and we show our gratitude to the Most High, because we know we got in this predicament from disobeying the statutes, laws, and commandments. But we're waking up now as Yasharel, Quam Yasharala, Quam Yasharala. It's time to rise. These bones shall live again. And all praises to the Most High that this word is getting out, this message is getting out, that we are the people and what our responsibilities are, and to come up out of these paganized churches and to come up out of the world system and to be able to see that we're living in the matrix, and the ultimate goal is to try and destroy the children of Israel. But it's not going to happen, because the Father has a remnant, that be you and I, and our responsibility is to wake up our brothers and wake up our sisters. We will not, and we refuse to be relegated to religion that is made by man in order to cause us to be disenfranchised and to be separated and to be confused, to be brainwashed, and to be programmed in order to be slaughtered. We're not falling for it. We will not be induced with your drugs and your pharmakia and your narcotics, your heroin, your coke, your prostitution, your homosexual agenda, or the facade of leaders and their images, because we think they look like us. We're not falling for it. Because if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. But that's not going to happen, because he's got some chosen people that are waking up and we're coming together. And we shall see him, Christ, as he is. And when we see him, we're going to be changed. They have a fear. I'm going to take a page out of Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet. Because what our people fail to understand is that, and I talked about this on Straight No Chaser, and I don't mean to go back into it, is that they know more of who we are than we understand who we are, because they have our records. So you're living in an alternate reality that they're giving to you through media and television that they want to present to you. It's affecting other nations and races, yes, but it's ultimately against the indigenous, who they call the minority, who are the children of Israel. And if you look at the pictures on your screen, if you're on the computer, you'll see there's 12 tribes. Ephraim, I don't know if I'm going to call the names, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Gad, Naphtali. But we've been spread out throughout the four corners of the earth. Because if we were in one concentrated area, it would be easier for them to destroy us. So even in that, the Most High was protecting us by spreading. He's going to gather us. All praises to the Most High. So let us understand that we're waking up for a reason. We will no longer fight against ourselves because it's time to start fighting against the enemy. We will no longer try and destroy each other because we need to be preparing ourselves to destroy the enemy that worships another god, fallen angels. As I said, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the gods of this world have blinded the mind of the people, but I need you to begin to tell people to wake up. Brothers and sisters, let's not fight with them. Let's not force this down their throat. You're the light of the world, and all you have to do is walk in the statutes, laws, and commandments and come up out of her. My people, we no longer will listen to these fried chicken, Cadillac, Mercedes-Benz driving pastors that try and tell us what sin is, because we understand that 1 John makes it clear what sin is. Expression of the law. Let's go to 1 John, because there's a few scriptures I want to cover there as we talk about the commandments. I just want to cover the importance of some of the commandments today, because this is two-part. 1 John 3:4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law." That is what sin is when you transgress against the law. You tell me, with all your common sense, how are we going to be judged by the Most High if there are no guidelines or parameters wherewith to judge us by? When you go to court, they bring out statutes and they give you numbers of laws that you've broken. They have it's a penal code. They were being carnal and sinful when they came up with that name, but nevertheless they have these codes numbered out, and these people get together and establish these laws. They're trying to pattern themselves after what the Most High has given. How will we be able to stand before him and he judges if we say there was no law for me to live myself by? So we be able to stand before him unjust, but he's a just Ahaya, Most High. And what he's trying to get us to come back to and realize that the laws were never done away with or abolished, so that therefore we cannot stand before him justified in our wrong. We will understand how we shall be judged according to what he's written in your heart, because he even made it clear he would write it in your heart. I know for those that love him, as he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the love of the Most High brings to remembrance what's in this word. He'll stir it up in you. It's planted in you. The Ruach HaKadosh. Not only does it comfort, lead, guide, minister to, and all those things, but it brings to remembrance all things. So if you're a true student of the word of the Most High, and you're disciplined, and you're a disciple, and you read this word, the job of the Ruach, whom you call the Holy Spirit, to remind you of scriptures that you've read about. I'm about to show you something real quick. When Christ sent out the disciples, the 70, he said, "Give no thought of what you will say. Just go. Don't put it on script and paper." You'll find this in the book of Matthew when he sent them out. Now, what is that all about? Because remember, he breathed on them, and they all received the Spirit. And he sent them out with the Spirit. And what you're going to say, Because in that moment, the spirit, the Ruach, will give you what to say. And this is the importance of knowing these statutes, these laws and commandments. And as you read them, the spirit will help you to govern your life by it. It will set up the parameters for you. So therefore, when you do stand before the Most High, you can stand before him just because you strived every day to walk in the statutes and commandments, the laws of the Most High. Let's look at 1 John 5:3. It says, first let me start at 2. By this we know that we love the children of the Most High, when we love Ahayah and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Ahayah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is the whole intent of Christianity today, to tell you that the commandments are grievous and they can't be kept. And they will also lie to you and say, well, Christ is our Sabbath, when he never said that. He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He made it very clear when he said that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He was in reference to the fact that that's Mark 2:27. They were trying to condemn them for doing certain things on the Sabbath. And he was saying that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So understand that his commandments are not grievous. You begin to find joy and peace and purpose with your life as you walk into what he gave us as a culture, because we and us only, Israel, we are the only family he has ever known in the earth. That is scripture. Psalms 148 tells us that we are the saints. We are his elect. We are the kadosh, here to teach the whole earth how to worship the one and only true God, Ahayah Ashar Ahayah, the great I am that I am. As I mentioned earlier in Luke 1:6, you have Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and her husband were the only ones, I won't say they were the only ones, but they were considered blameless. And the only reason they were considered blameless, let's read it, her and Zacharias, and they were both righteous before Ahayah, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Most High. Blameless. They were both righteous before Ahayah, walking in all the commandments. Do you know there's over 600 commandments, statutes, and laws? And they walked in all of them, and they were blameless. And people today want to tell you, ain't nobody perfect. You can't be perfect. That's the analogy of the world. Let me tell you another thing, analogy of the world. You only live once, and you won't get this chance again. So live a life of hedonism and be a heathen. This is all Aleister Crowley, who's a part of the Satanic Church, and him and Jay-Z, they all put this stuff out. Do as thou wilt, in other words, they're saying, do whatever you want to do. Do what thou will, whatever, however that little thing goes. I'm glad I don't know it. I don't need to know it. They're saying live a life with no restraints, no ordinances, and forget everything the Most High is telling you to do, which is why this whole world tries to impute on you immorality, sin. Sin that goes against the commandments. They put pork in every product known. They just confess that they've been putting pork enzymes in cheese that's on pizza, such as Pizza Hut, Round Table, Domino's. Why are they trying to put pork in everything? Because they know the Most High spoke against us eating foods that were unclean for our own protection, because he created those animals to be the natural garbage disposers of the earth. Their meat and their flesh will never be clean. Their flesh carries tons of parasites, and he knew that it was parasitic and harmful to our bodies. Everything he gave us was for our good. people say that even when they, he used to talk about don't wear two different blends of clothing, polyester and wool, and people are like, that's impossible. You can't do that today. But then we find out medically and scientifically that the reason you wore one type of garment, because it's easier to allow your skin to breathe, because as your pores sweat, you're releasing toxins. And this doesn't happen with hybrid clothing. It will cause your skin to not be able to breathe and be oxygenated. So when you really look into it, you start to find out that the commandments aren't grievous towards us. They were given for our benefit and for our good. Everything. Catfish, crab, shrimp, those are the bottom suckers of the earth. They clean the ocean. Which is why the ecosystem is messed up, because they've taken everything out of their crap, every shrimp they can find. And they were designed to eat the feces of all the other fish and the dead remains and things that don't need to be there. They're parasitic as well. And then we wonder why we have so many parasites in our body that cause sickness and aches and gout and high blood pressure and cholesterol and sickness. And doctors will not tell you this medical fact, that black people's DNA makeup, your body, your physiology is completely different from every other race, and that there are foods you cannot eat, you were not genetically engineered or made to eat. But you're being so socially engineered to think that we're living in a microcosm of multiculturalism and that we're all the same. We are not. We are not. We are not. And I know you got to dig deep to find this stuff out. Even the internet is scrubbed every day, because when they find truth, they scrub it with a lie real quick. So you have to know how to even do your research on the internet. We are not made the same, which is why he gave us these laws to stay away from it. And if you want to see your health spring back, start abiding by the dietary laws that are given in the commandments. And slowly work your way around to being clean. You don't want to die unclean because you constantly took the name of the Most High in vain, because you were calling upon his sacred Kodesh name while you were just having just come up out of something sinful that would cause you to be unclean. And then you just jump right back into calling his name like it's all good. People died for that in the Old Testament. These are the things that we want to begin to understand, and don't let anyone tell you that it's done away with, because therefore you lose the benefits. What happens? There are tremendous benefits that come upon your life, and I don't want you to begin to do this for the benefits. I want you to do this for the love of the Most High, because we're living in a time right now where you should want to find out how much more you can do to please him and be close to him. A higher, the Most High. Not what, how much less can I do and what can I get away with. That's the way of the Christian church. Can I do this? Well, can we do this? No. Here's the way of Hebrew Israelite. What more can I do to be like him and to be a light in this earth and to wake my brothers and sisters up so they won't continue to be destroyed, be ghetto, be astonishments, be bywords, and realize their heritage, their true heritage before the slave trade. What can I do to wake my people up for the soon return of our brother, the true conqueror? That's where we need to be. But this whole world is imputing on you hedonism and just being heathens, and you know, you doing everything the world is doing. You watching everything they watch, listening to everything they listen to, going everywhere they go, all in the name of liberality. Nah, man, listen, brothers, sisters, come closer to the Father. The Most High loved Moses so much. Moses and Abraham, he said, he called them friends. But this always amazes me. When he asked Moses, what does he want? He could have asked him for anything. Moses said, show me your glory. You think you could ever get to the capacity where you just say, I just want more of you? Moses walked off the mountain and had to put a veil on his face because his face shined so much from being in the Most High's presence. Or can you just even be like Solomon, who could have had anything he wanted, and he said, just give me wisdom, which is the Ruach. And he said, because you asked for this and not foolish things, I'm going to go ahead and give you everything. But profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. Brothers and sisters, I'm just here to tell you real quick that these statutes, laws, and commandments will never, ever be done away with. We're going to talk about Purim when we come back. Let's hear from Judah again. This is Elder V, and you are here on the Social Change Movement Sabbath service. All praises to the Most High. We give Him all praise here on the Shabbat and during this time of Purim. Some, like I said earlier in the show, some will be honoring Purim 27th and the 28th. We have some discrepancies with times because man has thought to change our times and seasons to throw us off, to keep us off the frequency of the Father and who we are. But one thing is that we will remember the holy days and walk away from the holidays. Let's talk about Purim, and I'll give you a brief overview of what this entails. The while out for all of you that are just now joining us, Shabbat worship, Kwam Yasharala. Festival Purim is celebrated every year, normally around the 14th of the Hebrew month of Adar. The amazing thing is that this being the last month before we go into the Hebrew calendar new year, and you'll find that the pagans' holiday, which they call Christmas, was a takeoff of Purim, where they tried to emulate it and copy it by saying that that was their last month before their New Year's of January. Satan has always said in Isaiah the 14th that he was going to try to be just like the Most High. Copycat, envy, jealousy. That's what has him where he is. Nevertheless, Purim, it commemorates the salvation of the Hebrews, you know, people in ancient Persia. When we were under Persian captivity, we've been under a number of captivities. We're in one now with America. We've been under, Greek, Persian. I've got them. I don't all have them committed to memory right now, so I'm going to focus on this. But nonetheless, the Hebrew people were coming out of Persian captivity. While in Persian captivity, there was a plot by Haman to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Hebrews, young, old, children, women. And he wanted to do this in one single day. One man had plotted, spoke with the king. I'm telling you, you Hebrews, there's nothing new under the sun. In every captivity that we were in, Assyrian, Greek, Egyptian, that there was a plot to destroy us. And the Father came, pull us out. So I'm so thankful we're starting to wake up, because there's another plot under this American captivity to destroy the children of Israel. It's been a slow progression, but there will come a time where they'll look to wipe us out altogether. But then will our salvation come? Nonetheless, let me finish this story in a nutshell. The Persian Empire was somewhere around the 4th century BCE, and it was a large empire. It was over 127 lands. Now, all the Hebrews were subjects. Those were all the subjects. And you had a king by the name of Ahasuerus. Some believe that may have been Artaxerxes. There's some discrepancies over that as well. Now, he had a wife that was by the name of Queen Vashti. That's a whole other story in itself, but I think it's interesting because it leads up to something, and I want to talk about that. Vashti was executed for failing to follow his orders. He orchestrated, he had asked Vashti to come and show herself amongst all the other, some of the other kings at a celebration party, and she said, no, I'm pretty much not doing it. Now, I won't delve off into another area, but we see a lot of that in our culture today, where a queen won't do as a king, you know, come out to show herself. And I don't want to go into another area and deviate, but they were concerned. All of the princes that were there and other leaders and royalty, that she would establish and set a precedence for all women and their wives, and they would all become rebellious against the laws. So they told him he had to do something. He actually executed Vashti. She was supposed to be one of the most beautiful queens there were, and she got lifted up in pride. But when you think about it, even the Most High said, I'm the one who hardens Pharaoh's heart. There's always a plan to lead to something else. Vashti's heart may have been hardened against her husband, but also she went against the commandments that were set by being defiant, disobedient, not honoring her husband, her head. And they felt that this would destroy every home, every head, and every woman would start to dishonor their husbands. Sounds pretty familiar, right? Right. And definitely going throughout your black community and throughout the Christian church. So nonetheless, as I said, I didn't want to deviate from this little story in a nutshell. After she was destroyed, everyone figured that he should all have some type of pageant to find a virgin that could replace Vashti. And eventually, out of all of them, Esther was chosen. You'll find this story in the book of Esther. And if you did not know, Esther has a second portion of its book in the Apocrypha, which shows you the hypocrisy of them pulling out the Apocrypha, saying this is not the word of the Most High. This is our Hebrew history book, okay? That's what the word is and the scrolls are and the scriptures are. So you can find the second portion of the book of Esther in the Apocrypha. They took that out where you get to continue the story and see what transpired. But nonetheless, Esther was a Hebrew, as they say, Jew in the so-called older covenant. But she was a Hebrew and she hid this. She hid her identity for quite some time. Meanwhile, one who was against the Jews was Haman, and he was appointed prime minister of the entire empire. Now, there was also another man, Mordecai, who was a Hebrew, and he was the leader over the Hebrews. So you had Haman, a prime minister, and then you had him assigned to be over his people so he could deal with them as their leader to tell them what to do. So Mordecai, being the head of the Hebrews, was also related to Esther. Now, what he did was he defied the king's orders and refused to bow to Haman. And Haman pretty much got ticked off. And so he convinced the king to issue a decree ordering exterminating all Hebrews because Mordecai refused to bow. We don't bow to idols as being Israel. We don't walk up in churches today and go kneel at the altar and bow our heads to these to pagan articles and artifacts and things like that. We don't bow. We lift our hands out. We don't bow to. We're not into idolatry. We don't bow to other men and do things like that. Mordecai was like, I'm not bowing to you. I serve the Most High, Ahayah. So pretty much, Haman was ticked off and ordered that everyone of the Hebrews in the entire 127 lands be exterminated. Well, nonetheless, this was supposed to happen on the 13th of Adar. So that would be somewhere around a week ago. Now, this date was chosen by lotteries. Gambling, rolling the dice, pick, astrology, you know, things that we should be mindful of today. What Mordecai did was he got all of the people together. And I don't know if you heard Straight No Chaser, but this is why they came up with a thing called COINTELPRO, Hoover, that was over the FBI, because they wanted to make sure that there was never the rise of a black messiah. They've always feared a charismatic black man able to talk to the people and galvanize them and bring us together with one common goal, because there's a strength we have, Israel, Quam Yasharala. When we come together, it's like a hand becoming a fist. And it's too powerful, because when we come together, our God, Yakad, Ahayah shows up and gives us the strength, because we are the direct descendants of the Most High. And when we bring forth that unity, you have to understand, he resides in us because he breathed in us. Mordecai galvanized the people and brought them together on one accord, the power of agreement. First, he told them, he convinced them to repent and to fast and pray. If my people who are called by my name. So look, Mordecai got them to first fast and pray. So don't let anybody take you away from the importance. First part of the show, we talked about keeping the commandments, so important. So go back and listen to it. If you're just tuning in, so powerful. We've been talking about the commandments every Shabbat. But we sometimes, as Hebrews, as Israelites, forget to talk about the power of prayer and fasting. And I'm not just saying the Lord's Prayer. I'm talking about crying out, sackcloth and ashes on your knees, crying out before the Most High and praying for your brothers and sisters and pushing your plate to the side, pushing food to the side, letting this world, this earth, and the devil and his demons know that you don't even need food, and crucifying and mortifying the deeds of your flesh. This is power, and this is what the Most High requires of us. Meanwhile, while Mordecai was galvanizing the people, Esther asked the king and Haman to join her for a feast. At the feast, Esther revealed to the king who she was and what her real background was, that she was a Hebrew Israelite. Hallelujah. Well, eventually, long story short, we're gonna turn to the book of Esther and read this. Haman was eventually hanged, because we're just putting this in a nutshell. Mordecai was appointed prime minister in his stead, and a new decree was issued granting the Hebrews the right to defend themselves against their enemies. Check this out. The king was not able to pull back his decree, so he gave Esther and Mordecai the right to write a new decree to give to the people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, which was, you have the right to defend yourself. Do not feel helpless. Think about it. If the king had not told them that, they would allow themselves to have been destroyed by Haman and his army that were coming to kill them and destroy them. But because the king told them through Esther, the queen, and Mordecai, their leader, fight. They were already galvanized. They were already prayed up and had fasted, got the attention of the Most High and their strength and power, and had been told by the king, you can fight. So what happens? And it's so easy for me. Let me say this. Right now we have people trying to take our guns and our rights, so that in the event of tyranny, you won't be able to defend yourself. I'm not going to get into gun laws, whether I'm a gun advocate. I think it speaks for itself. So when our king comes back and tells us to fight, know that we will be ready to fight, and that he will tell us to destroy some things. It's nothing new under the sun. Proverbs makes that clear. Proverbs makes that clear. Every captivity, as I said, they tried to ultimately wipe Israel completely off the map. The Father ain't having it. This is and will be our final captivity. And the Father ain't having it. It's been a slow process of trying to destroy our people. And right now we're only being destroyed for lack of knowledge. All praises to the Most High that many of us are starting to adhere to the information and knowledge that is vast and all around us. So now they know that we're waking up, so they're getting ready to go for the gusto. I'm talking about right now, American captivity. They know we're waking up. So now they're ready for war. Meteorites everywhere. Earthquakes, diverse places. Harp. Strange foods. Strange people popping up on the scene. Their leaders stepping down to make way for something else that's coming, and everybody sensing what's happening in the atmosphere. Listen, there is a decree about to go out to Israel to prepare themselves. That's all I want to say, and I'm relating it to this story. I know I am. But when you think about what happened with Mordecai, and this is the reason we have Purim and this time of celebration, because we escaped captivity and we destroyed our enemies. And they had a celebration after destroying their enemies. And that's the story in a nutshell. Is that Vashti was destroyed. Esther became queen. She exposed the plot. Mordecai galvanized the people. They gathered their weapons. They fought Haman back. Destroyed the armies. Haman was hung and killed and destroyed. We were victorious. And Mordecai became prime minister. When we get to the wilderness, when we get over there, Zion, hallelujah. So nonetheless, Purim, I'm sorry if I'm getting a little passionate about the story, because I can see how these patterns repeat themselves. But nonetheless, we will not stand down and allow ourselves to be destroyed. And I know there's some soldiers and some warriors out there that are willing to stand, that are keeping these commandments, that are fasting and praying and preparing yourselves for what is soon to come. So we honor Purim, which, as I said, for some today and tomorrow, and for some the 27th and 28th, depending on what calendar you're following. a lot of people, we want to come together and keep and follow one calendar, but I don't think we'll be able to come into complete unity until the Father returns. That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion that I'm exerting right there, because we have so many people that are trying to put themselves as, you know, a leader. They've got the final word on this, and they have good intentions to bring everyone together. But good intentions aren't always the best thing, such as we found out through the scriptures. The most important fast, and another part of Purim, as I talk about some of the things that are done on Purim, the most important fast of the Most High, you'll find out, which is a part of Purim, is in Isaiah the 58th chapter. I'll turn there real quick. Bear with me. Isaiah 58. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Most High shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Most High shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. That's Isaiah 58, 5 through 9. That is a true fast, to loose the bands of the wicked, and to set the captives free, and to feed the poor. Also during this time of Purim, we're supposed to be able to go give to those that are without. We're to celebrate. We're to rejoice during the Shabbat. That's why I'm going to honor Purim on the Shabbat. I'm not going to do it on the 27th and 28th. I will remember that a lot of my brothers and sisters are honoring it. I'll be in the same mindset with you, but I'm going to honor it today. And the thing is to do those things that are mentioned in Isaiah the 58th. And the benefits, he said, your health will spring forth like the light of day. You'll be able to call on me, and I will answer immediately. It's exactly what he said. Now, let me go back to Esther about the Feast of Purim, the 9th chapter, Esther 9, 16. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000. But they laid not their hands on the prey. They slew 75,000 of Haman's people. On the 13th day of the month, reading from the 17th verse, on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rested they, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. This is why a lot of people keep the holidays on the Shabbat, because this is our day of rest. And so with this being the day of rest, this would be the one holy day where you would be allowed to exchange some business, as they say, to celebrate. There's drinking of wine. There's the giving of gifts, because this is what they did. This is like this would be similar to Christmas. This is the time where people would give gifts. They were happy. They had been released from captivity. They were celebratory, and they rested because they had just destroyed their enemies and broken free from captivity, because Israel was about to be wiped off the face of the earth. And if you think about it, as they looked back in retrospect, they saw how Vashti had to be destroyed in order for Esther to step into her place, have some pillow talk with the king,
convince him that Haman had plotted to destroy her people, and her cousin Mordecai family got together. They were the leaders and made sure that this happened. Israel, we got to come together in unity. Esther 9 and 19. Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar, a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. There it is there. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king of Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and of joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. There it is right there, what we just talked about. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And how we're supposed to take care of the poor. I want you to remember that part of your celebration of Purim. I want you to tie that in with Isaiah the 58th chapter about what the fast is and how you're to loose the bands of the wicked and bring those things together. And know that man has thought to change times and seasons, which is why the day always alters every year. So for this year, 2013, as I mentioned, the closest we can get to it is saying it's on the 23rd and 24th. I can't verify the 27th and the 28th yet because I haven't done my research on that. So I'm going to honor it today on this Shabbat, Purim, our escaping from Persian captivity. Let me continue reading this. The 23rd verse, Esther 9 and 23. And the Jews undertook to do as they had began, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume them, and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore, they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur, which is a lot. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, the Hebrews, the Hebrew Israelites, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. That would be you and I. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of the fastings and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. This 2-day feast of rejoicing and sending of gifts is still to be kept by us today. not the synagogue of Satan that during the 12th century stole our identity and took on Judaism and synthesized it with Talmud and Kabbalah and some other satanic mess that they're into with the seal of Moloch as a flag and called the Star of David. No, not those imposters. Us, the seed of Yaakov, real seed of David, the Hebrew Israelites, the 12 tribes of Israel spread over the entire earth. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Naphtali, Ephraim, Issachar, all of us, the minorities, the meek, the indigenous, we celebrate this time. It is for us to keep, not the synagogue of Satan as mentioned in Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9. So, brothers and sisters, there you have it. I want you to enjoy this feast day, this holy day, and this Shabbat. And let it be a time, today and tomorrow, where you celebrate and remember, because he didn't say for a brief period of time or just for the Old Testament time or just for the New Testament time. This is forever. We're getting ready to prepare ourselves to come up out of this final captivity. And for the return of our brother Messiah. Signs of the times are all around us. We should listen to these stories and rejoice and prepare. Now is not the time to assimilate with the ways of this world, but to come out from amongst her. Lift up your voice like a trump in Zion. Cry out loud, spare not. And be like Ezekiel. Set your face like a flint and save your brothers and sisters from this untold generation. It's not hopeless. Let's come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. I am Elder V. I've got mad love for you. And as we say here always, that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. But truth is a journey, not a destination. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Kwam Yasharala.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out.